I am Daniel Fuller from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're continuing to talk about Romans chapter 8. Today is part 3 of this series we've been doing on Romans chapter 8. We're going to be taking communion over the next couple of paragraphs in Romans chapter 8 today. Just some, like I said, Romans 8, just a beautiful passage of scripture. There is so much in Romans chapter 8. So we're going to be asking God for some wisdom and understanding and revelation from this passage of scripture today, just a time to receive these promises from God. So why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir the sacrifice of Jesus into our remembrance, to take that sacrifice that happened over 2,000 years ago and pull it into the present moment today, making it active and relevant in our lives right now. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus until he comes. Proclaiming the death. Think about the case of a will or an inheritance. Nothing happens until you prove or you proclaim the death. It's the activation that activates all of the benefits. So in a sense, communion is an activation of all the benefits that are found in this new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to pull it into the present moment, stir it into our remembrance, and then pair it with something practical and physical in the cracker and juice that we actually do and can we release our faith into. But it's important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, just that deep honor and respect and gratitude and appreciation for God and for Jesus and all that he did, to honor his sacrifice and all that he's made available through that. So the way we typically do these daily communions is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, talk about, are we making today a masterpiece? Are we walking out today? Are we walking in faith? Are we walking in love? Are we making adjustments? Are we doing those things that we know to do? A time to examine ourselves before our time of communion. And then after our communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout advice. Physical exercise, I believe, is this powerful way to connect with God. It's a physical expression of exercising our faith. It's a way to practice applying the principles of exercising our faith, to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. For us to rest and God to do that work through us. It's a powerful way to do that. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities today to do good and be a blessing and be sensitive to those opportunities and to make the most of them today. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. That's what we're talking about. Are we making today a masterpiece? Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. Now, I also think it's important, the way we view a day also makes a difference. In the Jewish culture, a day starts in the evening at sunset. It goes sunset to sunset, because in the book of Genesis, God says there was evening and there was morning, with the evening coming first. So a day in God's sight is evening to evening. We're going to start in the evening. One of the ways I like to do this is with a journal before bed, to get my positioning, to get everything going before I even go to bed at night. And then you wake up and you walk out that day with God, together with him. This is where we talk about executing our four fundamentals today. Getting positioned in the light, magnifying that light, staying tuned in for God's leading and direction, and then taking action, doing those things that we know to do, and doing them in partnership with God. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light. Every day we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in darkness. There's no in between. To be in the light, we're going to take our position today in humility, humbling ourselves, willing to grow, willing to change, willing to repent, willing to say we're sorry, willing to honor authority in our life, willing to honor other people and humble ourselves in relationship to other people and with God. Because it's the humble that are given grace. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to receive that grace and forgiveness from God. We're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with ourselves. And we're going to walk in that same grace and forgiveness with other people. We're going to take our position in love today. Externally focused. How can I do good? How can I be a blessing? Kind and patient and gentle, always hoping, always trusting, always assuming the best about people, keeping no record of wrongs, always persevering, because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, rather than venting and complaining. Gratitude and praise, one of the greatest expressions of faith. And it takes faith to enter into this light. And when we take our position today, what do we have access to? God has taken literally everything he has, everything he wanted to give Jesus. He put it all in Christ. And we get to be in him today. All of this is available right now today to flow through us. And one of the things we have to learn how to do is to understand what's been made available and learn to get this flowing through us. This is a skill. This is a practice of learning how to do this, of learning how to live in this new way. God's taken it all and put in the light, his spirit and power and presence, his love, his peace, his joy, all the fruit of the spirit, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his kingdom. We've become part of his family, his purpose, his time, his finances, you name it. It's all there in the light, just waiting to flow through us today. It's all there waiting to be accessed and get it flowing through us today. That's where we've got to begin to magnify the light. Everything in the kingdom starts as a seed. So we take our position. It starts small. Then we're going to start to magnify it and make it bigger or greater. We're going to expand the capacity of it where God can flow more of this through us in our lives. It's going to help it to get established in our hearts. We'll become more fixed and consistent and immovable in this when the issues and pressures of life come at us. And to magnify, it's all about focus. It's all about, what are we focused on? What is our attention on throughout the day? What are we meditating on and rolling over in our mind and heart throughout the day? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Be thinking about it and talking about it and meditating on it. Magnifying his unfailing love and his faithfulness and his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. To magnify our positioning in Christ. We've got right standing with God. Not because of our own works, but because of what Jesus did. And God eagerly desires to help us. He put it all in there for us in Christ. We can access it by faith in what he did. Communion today, we're honoring what he did, his sacrifice, his perfect, sinless body, his blood, this blood of the new covenant. We can just magnify all the things that are going well. Look how far God has already brought us in our lives. This is not denying that there's issues or problems. In fact, it's bringing those problems and issues into the light and magnifying God as bigger than those problems. You guys have probably heard me talk about it, but I always think of David facing Goliath in this. David's not running from the giant. He's running toward him. And he's magnifying God as bigger than the giant. This is not denying the issues. Rather, it's bringing them into the light. And let's magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems today. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion and insisting on doing things our own way, focusing on ourselves, unforgiveness, bitterness, contempt for other people, disrespect, venting, complaining, magnifying the issues and the problems, staying stuck in the past or worrying about the future. And for a lot of people, it's not that they're trying to magnify these things. They just don't understand. They haven't been enlightened to know all that God has made available for us. Haven't learned to cast their cares onto him and to rest and trust in him and to trust in that grace that he's made available. This may not know. That's where we got to recognize the symptoms. When we're positioned in darkness or magnifying darkness, there's the tendency to retaliate at people, to get back at them, to snap at them, to withhold good things we know we should be doing. Because they did this to me. They said that to me. So I'm not going to do that for them. That's not grace. Then there's the avoiding people, withdrawing our presence, not talking to them, giving the silent treatment. On the inside, you'll feel that heaviness and that weight and that pressure, like it's all just sitting on you. It's up to you to figure it out. It's up to you to make it all happen. And it might feel hopeless for your situation, might feel hopeless, helpless, powerless, one of the worst feelings in the world. Like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big signal of this. Consistently low energy. We got to check the positioning, check our focus. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the life right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future, the confusion about what to do or which steps to take, that toiling away in your mind constantly. Because when you're in the dark, you can't see. We get stuck in these vicious cycles or bad patterns that just keep repeating over and over again. But what's the way out? Taking our position in that light, magnifying that light, getting this grace flowing through us. And what are we going to experience? Here's the symptoms on the other side. Rest in our soul. And when we rest, God goes to work. And the more we magnify it, the more this rest begins to expand, begins to grow, begins to permeate our entire being. Rest in our soul. And when we rest, God goes to work. And everything is free and easy and effortless, energizing. Feel that faith and that energy and that courage rise up. You feel that peace and joy and love flowing through you. Now all of a sudden we got hope in any and every situation. Where before it looked like we were hopeless, helpless, powerless. Now we've got hope in every situation because God's with us. And nothing's impossible for him. His mind and wisdom begin to flow. And we get these aha moments where we just know what to do. Rather than confusion, we know exactly what to do. When we don't know, we just wait because we know it's just a matter of time he's going to show us. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. We ever get off track, we lose our position, our attention, our focus gets off. It just takes a moment to turn it right back. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, forgive me. Humble ourselves. Father, forgive me. We receive that grace from him. Walk in grace and forgiveness with ourselves. Same thing with other people. Reconciling any relationships. Then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And what he put in us is more than enough. And you'll feel that shift on the inside. The weight will lift off you. Your energy levels will rise up. You feel that peace and the joy and the love just wash over you on the inside. And all of a sudden, it will start to flow again. You'll feel that shift on the inside. Then we're going to stay tuned in today. This is where that day starts. In the evening, one of my favorite things to do is journaling before bed. Journaling before bed. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us. It's a great way to examine ourselves before we go to bed every night. I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. Then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are the ways I saw God showing up? Then I'll ask, God, what were you trying to show me today? Is there anything that I missed? And I just get still. And reflect back over the day for a couple minutes. Doesn't take long. And whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write it down. And then we're going to stay tuned in as we go throughout that day. Tuned in through as we go throughout the day, connected to Him. You ever feel like you're losing that connection? Think of it like just plugging your phone back in. Got to get powered up in Him again. Just slow down for a minute or two. Experience that fullness that's in Him, that rest that's in Him. Then if you're ever unsure on something, you don't know what to do or which steps to take, just ask Him. He wants to show you, but we got to wait until He shows us what to do. And then it's time to take action. So the last thing I like to do in my journal is I like to write out this statement. I've been doing the statement every night for about a year. Today, I want to be doing what's right and best in God's eyes. I want to do it with peace and joy and confidence in Him. Jesus says, you abide in me, you ask for whatever you want. And I was asking God for a while, how do I know what to want? What do you want from me? And I learned to say this little statement. What I want today is I want to be doing what God says is right and best. And then I begin to plan my day with God. What do I know to do? Not things I'm unclear of, not things I'm unsure of just yet. What do I know to do? And I make out my list for the day. To-do list, anything in my conscience, anything I've been procrastinating on, anything I have a leading or excitement from God to do. Write out the list, and then it's about waking up like a kid on Christmas morning. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. First thing in the morning, let's get positioned in Him. Let's get positioned in the light. Start magnifying Him and praising Him and thanking Him, getting connected to Him. And then let's walk out that plan together with Him. You lose that connection or you get knocked out of position, just adjust. Slow down, get connected back to Him, get back in position and keep going. Every day, He's got so many opportunities just waiting in the day. If we'll keep positioned in Him, relying on Him. As we do this, we get this grace flowing through us. It does something like magnetize us. That grace begins to flow and it begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at the scripture today. It's part 3 of our series on Romans chapter 8. There's verses 18 through 30 today. So the subtitle that starts us off says, the present suffering and future glory. The Apostle Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Where is it going to be revealed? In us. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. And who's that? That's us. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up until the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You've probably experienced this. Sometimes you're in a moment of weakness. You're in a time, a tough situation, and you don't even know what to pray for. Sometimes it's hard to even pray. I've been in those positions where you just got so much pressure on you, it's hard to even pray. You don't know what to pray for. But we've got the Holy Spirit with us and in us who can pray through us and pray those perfect prayers. Connecting with God. That's a beautiful thing. That's a promise for us to receive today. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who've been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son. God's conforming us into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So we've got this purpose and grace in Christ. God calls us to this. Got this purpose and grace. He calls it to us. And then I've learned this is a process. We've got to get justified. Justified is to prove our faith. It's getting to this place where our faith has works, has corresponding action, have works with our faith. They're working together because our faith is not complete without works, is what it tells us about Abraham. And the most we have that place where we're justified, we have corresponding action, we have proof. Justification is proof. We have justification, we have proof that we believe. It leads to glorification. We're getting to that place where we got this freedom of the children of God. Liberated, free. Some amazing promises for us today. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for all that you've done. All that you've done for us. So much. More than we probably know. For all that Jesus went through for us. We thank you for this new covenant in him. We thank you for these amazing promises. Just the time to receive these promises today, that you're working everything together for our good. You've given us the Holy Spirit to pray these perfect prayers in those times when we don't even know what to pray. We thank you for that today. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he said, "Take it. Receive it," that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that cup of the new covenant. Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. So now it's about walking this out today. Let's get connected to him. Let's walk out that plan and purpose that he has for us today in partnership with him. Let's talk about some workout stuff. Part of applying our faith into the workout is faith takes a commitment. Faith takes a firm decision or commitment. You got to make this commitment. Say, "You know what? I'm going to do this daily. I'm going to do this every day." And it's a commitment. This is a covenant commitment. Think of it that way. God took the feeling out. He didn't say, "Well, one day I'm going to have this new covenant. And then next day, we'll see how I feel. I might help them a little bit the next day. Next day, I'm feeling good. Oh, I'll do it this day. Next day, oh, I don't know about this day." It's a covenant commitment. In our workout, I want you to think of a covenant commitment to daily practice. The workout is not supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to take a lot of time. It's supposed to be fun and enjoyable. If you don't have the workout, you can get on our email list at theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com. And on the daily emails that goes out, you'll have access to the workouts. But you got to take the feeling out. Those days when you say, "You know what, I don't really feel like doing it." What can you do? You could do one push-up. You could do one squat. You could do 1 minute of something, 30 seconds of something. You could do something. You say, "I'm going to do what I can do today. And I'm going to make the commitment to keep doing that day by day." I believe you make that commitment, God's going to honor that commitment. You're going to be amazed at what happens if you just stick to your commitment. But we've got to take the feeling out. Stop being wishy-washy about it and commit to it. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, You go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.